with What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Some consumers are going to great lengths to boost their credit scores.
I think there are certain personality types and people who just want the best grade they can get on everything. If you think this is probably the people who, you know, want their Uber rating to be 5.0 or as close to it as they can, these are people who might have a Fitbit and realize that they're short of their 10,000-step goal of the day and might run around their living room doing laps.
Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Rudiger joins us with more details in just a moment. But first, here are some other top stories we're following. Trade negotiators from the U.S. and the European Union are set to meet in Washington later this week for their fifth round of talks. The dispute over agriculture is front and center, with both sides facing growing domestic pressure over the issue. Representatives are expected to meet on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reports that a trade agreement between the U.S. and China is moving along, despite hurdles to a final agreement. Both sides could reportedly lift some of the tariffs imposed on each other last year. And while tariff policies may have brought China and others to the bargaining table with the U.S., the Wall Street Journal reports that U.S. tariff policies have done little to reduce the nation's trade deficit. Narrowing the deficit has been a goal of President Trump's. But the Commerce Department's report on fourth-quarter GDP showed imports exceeded exports by a record $914 billion in 2018. And the deficit stands about 16% larger now than when President Trump took office. Lawmakers in several states have introduced legislation to restrict or eliminate religious or personal vaccination exemptions after the resurgence of measles. The disease was considered eliminated in the United States in 2000, but this year federal health officials say measles outbreaks have infected more than 150 people nationwide. Although vaccination coverage for measles was about 94% for kindergartners in the last school year, the CDC says the exemption rate has now risen for a third year to 2.2%. Libya restarted limited production at its largest oil field, Sharara, late Monday. The field had been occupied by gunmen for 3 months, who were expelled earlier this week. The field normally pumps about 315,000 barrels of oil a day, about a third of the country's average daily output. Its reopening is expected to calm oil markets amid disruptions in Venezuela and Iran, plus production cuts from Saudi Arabia. Still to come, why some consumers are competing to increase their credit scores. Consumer credit scores can be competitive, but some consumers trying to get into the so-called 800 credit score club take the competition to a whole other level. Joining me now in our studio with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Rudiger. Peter, before we get into the club you met, let's talk a bit about credit scores in general. They typically range from 300 to 850 and can give lenders a better sense of the borrower they might approve for a loan or other financing, for example.
That's right. The FICO score, the kind of the most famous credit score, has been around since 1989, so it's not a new thing. But for a long time, people didn't know what their credit scores were. Banks kept them secret. Sometimes if you applied for a loan, you might figure out what your score is. But until about a decade ago, it was very difficult to figure out what three digits you had there. And then a class of new websites started to pop up. Credit Karma and Credit Sesame are two of the big ones, to give you a look at your score for free. And then banks started saying, hey, that's a pretty popular feature. Let's start doing that for our customers. So as that became more available, you had this class of people who want to maximize that to get it as high as they possibly can on that scale.
Right. And that does seem to be the major change. Even about 10 years ago, you had to pay a fee to access your score through basically three main companies, right? Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion. Why did that process open up in recent years?
Right. So you had some companies that their business model is to say, hey, come to our website. You can see your free credit score. And then we'll try to offer you these other products in which we can make revenue off of you. And then the banks thought, hey, we have that information too. Why should we lose on that traffic? So let's show the customer their credit score for free inside our own apps and websites.
All right. So tell us some more about this group of consumers you found who compete against each other for the highest credit score. How are they getting there? Because this is still somewhat of a mystery how to achieve a higher credit score.
Right. So the most well-known credit score, the FICO score, developed by Fair Isaac, they tell you kind of the things they look at for the score, but they don't release the precise formula. So you don't know what precise action you could take to lead to an increase in your score, but you have a general idea. Let's say it looks better if you're not maxing out your credit cards, right? So if you use a small percentage of the available balance on your card, that looks good. So you have this group of people who try to, you know, optimize for that. Let's say we call up our credit card company and ask for an increase in our credit limit just because we want it to help our score, not because we need to borrow anything. People who, you know, take out loans they don't need. Again, if it might take a hit to your score in the short term, but if it shows you take out loans and pay them back, that could be good in the long term. It'll just look better. This is all part of the effort to get over this threshold of 800. Like we said, the score ranges from 300 to 850. And even though it's kind of meaningless, whether you're a 760 FICO score or an 820 FICO score, just this desire to be a perfectionist and obsess over this measurement is driving people to do some strange things.
And you met some people who are doing some strange things to get there. Tell us about some of them.
Sure. Let's start with the group of pizzeria coworkers who have a credit score contest every month where they email each other their credit scores. The highest one wins. All you get is bragging rights. There's no monetary prize or anything. And I talked to one person in that contest. Her name is McCatherine Painter. She took it pretty seriously, she told me. She trash-talked some of the other people in the contest when they were running up big bar tabs. She would pay off her bill every single week. Once when her credit score got over 800, she kind of taunted her rivals by duct taping it to one of their fridges. She wasn't riding so high one month when her cat needed emergency surgery. Her first thought wasn't for the cat's health. She told me it was actually, she thought, oh no, I'm going to lose the credit score contest this month. The cat is fine. The cat is recovered. But yeah, that's how seriously people were taking these sorts of things.
That is good to hear about her cat. Now, tell me, what do you think is behind this? Because as you say, there aren't that many more significant benefits for consumers who reach above an 800 credit score as compared to, say, a 700.
Well, I think there are certain personality types and people who just want the best grade they can get on everything. If you think this is probably the people who, you know, want their Uber rating to be 5.0 or as close to it as they can. These are people who might have a Fitbit and realize that they're short of their 10,000 step goal of the day and might run around their living room doing laps. It's really just the availability of this measurement and the desire on some people to score as high as they can on any measurement, I think, drives this kind of behavior.
Overall, what does this tell us about how the credit score process has changed? It seems at the very least credit scores are now more accessible to consumers. What do you think we're likely to see going forward? More challenges to credit scores deemed unfair, perhaps?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is people's credit scores have improved steadily since the financial crisis. So the average score, I think, is at an all-time high in the 700s. Part of what's influencing that is the crisis is in the rearview mirror. A lot of events that were weighing on people's scores are now not weighing in on them. Banks and lenders and a desire to approve more borrowers are looking at different kind of inputs to the credit score. Things like, do you pay your rent on time? And, you know, are your utility bills paid on time? Historically, that wasn't part of the credit score. It really was, do you pay back your credit card? Do you pay back your auto loan? But as, you know, as there's a greater desire to get more people into the kind of lending ecosystem, there's a desire to experiment with the score and make it more useful.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Rudiger joining us in our studio to talk about credit scores. Peter, thank you so much.
Great to be here.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.